إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد، my dear brothers, before we go to the second question of the Day of Judgment, inshallah, which we will do tomorrow, there is a very important element about these questions that I want to remind myself and you, and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question us about quantity. Allah will question us about quality. Because, and this is true for all the questions, like yesterday when we talked about the first question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us, what did you do with the life that I gave you? How did you lead the life I gave you? Allah will not ask, how long did you live? Why did you not live to be 70, 80, 90, 100, 100? No, Allah will not ask you about the number of years. Allah will ask you about what you did in whatever number of years was given to you. Each of us is born with a specific lifespan. Nobody can increase it, nobody can decrease it. Each of us is born with a specific lifespan. Some have more, some have less. The question is on the quality of that. And that is why on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish the mizan. He will establish the scales, the weighing scales. Allah will not count the deeds. Allah will weigh the deeds. Amal tole jayenge, gine nahi jayenge. So the issue of the value of the deed, the issue of the worth of the deed, the issue of the weight of the deed, not how many deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask us about how much charity we give, you know, in terms of numbers. He will ask us about the quality of that charity. Was that charity given sincerely to please Allah, or was it given to show the dunya that I am a generous person? And that is the reason why the famous hadith about it's called the hadith of Salas, the hadith of three. And that is the three people who will be thrown into the hellfire first, before everybody else. One is an alim who learnt the deen and taught the deen for fame, not to please Allah, for fame, name, money. Second one is a person who was a philanthropist, somebody who was a charitable person and who spent money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he did it for his own name and fame. He did it to show the world. He did not do it sincerely with ikhlas to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third one is a mujahid fi sabilillah, who went and fought in the path of Allah. He went and fought jihad and he was killed as a shaheed in the battlefield, but he will be thrown into the hellfire. Why? Because he did that not with ikhlas, not to please Allah, but he did that so that he will be known as a brave person. Now, if you take these three things, three of the most important things that you can imagine in life, learning and teaching of knowledge, spending of wealth, and ultimately spending of your life itself, all of these three not acceptable, not because they did not do it, but because it was not done in the way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we are not talking about the quantity, we are talking about the quality. Today, this is a very good principle also for us to apply in our own lives. For example, today, especially those of us who are, you know, I won't say us because I am not one of them, but those of people who are, for example, on Facebook, right, you are very concerned about how many friends you have on Facebook. There is this story about this lady whose son died, and at the funeral, there were like three people. And this lady, there is this cartoon, and this woman is saying, but you know, on Facebook, he had 5,000 friends. But when he died, there were only three people there. So, the issue is not how many friends you have, it is the quality of those friends. What kind of friends do you have? Do you have friends who are worth having as friends? Or do you have a whole bunch of people who are, you know, utterly useless, I mean, and maybe harmful, Allah alam, what kind of friend? So, very important for us to think about that and say that whatever I am doing, whether it's my friends, whether it's my acquaintances, the kind of business I am doing, it's not a question of how big is the business, it is the quality of that business. Right? Even in a worldly sense, if you look at it, it's not a question of how big is your business. The issue is, what is the quality of that business? Right? For example, if you take Malaysia, Malaysia is known to be a place which has a lot of universities. Malaysia is big on education. So, you have all kinds of universities, and I
Actually, I have probably never seen that many universities for such diverse subjects that I have seen in Malaysia. But today, if you ask me and say, name for me the top five universities and the top five university in business, top university in the in business and management, top university in medical, medical studies, top university in engineering. If you ask me to name five top ones, not one single of them will be from Malaysia or from India for that matter or anywhere else. All five will be in the United States, right? You're talking about Harvard, you're talking about MIT, you're talking about Yale, you're talking about Johns Hopkins, right? Who is better than these? Stanford? So the point is that all of them are in the US. Issue of quality, not quantity, not how many universities do you have. Question of how good are those universities. To apply the same thing, it's not a question of how much dhikr do I do. Seriously, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds us accountable, I ask Allah not to hold us accountable. But if Allah holds us accountable, then we will have to make tawbah for every time we said subhanallah. We will have to make tawbah for every time we said alhamdulillah. We will have to make tawbah for every time we said Allahu Akbar. Why? Because when we said subhanallah, we did not have any idrak, any sense, any awareness of the glory and majesty of Allah. We just said subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. We focused on did I count 33 times or 34 times. So actually, specifically, critically speaking, if Allah holds us accountable, every time we said subhanallah, we have to make tawbah. Ya Allah, I said subhanallah without the sense of what is subhanallah. So I'm not saying don't do this. I'm just saying that really speaking, if you look at the quality of what we do, I'm not talking about sins at all. I'm talking about good things. Alhamdulillah, nothing wrong with zikr. Zikr is ibadah. But that ibadah also when we do, may Allah protect us, we do it in a way which if Allah does not exercise His mercy on us, then we will be held accountable for saying that. We say Alhamdulillah. When we are saying Alhamdulillah, are we actually thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there any sense Alhamdulillah, I'm consciously thanking Ya Allah, this thing you helped me, Ya Allah, this benefit you gave me, this ni'mah you gave me, this pain you took away, this anxiety you took away, this fear you took away. Do I have any of that? Or Alhamdulillah, 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 Alhamdulillah. La hawla wa ta'ala. Quality of what we do. So also with Salah. I don't think Salah I have to explain because we are all in the same boat. May Allah protect us. But two rakat of Salah, may Allah protect us. Wallahi, illa mashallah. Two rakat of Salah from Takbir al-Tahrima to Salam, we cannot say with certainty that my thoughts and my mind did not wander, that it did not go anywhere, even though I know cognitively, I know intellectually, I know in my brain that I am standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have all the dalail, I can quote all the hadith in that correction and everything, but when I actually stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do I have that idrak? Do I have that realization that I am standing before Allah? That is the key. The key is the quality of the deed. Not how long I lived, how did I live? What was the quality of my life? And quality measured compared to what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only criterion. Islam is so simple. The only criterion that a Muslim needs to worry about or anybody needs to worry about is, did this thing please Allah? If it pleased Allah, alhamdulillah. If it did not please Allah, we make tawbah and we do the thing again. Very important for us to understand this. To say that all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be concerned about and which He will ask us for is the quality of what we did. And as I said, apply it in your own life. It's not how many children you have. What quality of children? We talk about Imam Bukhari. One Imam Bukhari is better than having 1,000 children. For his parents, one man, one child is worth more than having 1,000 children. So it's not how many children you have, it's a question of what is the quality of that child. Why do we talk about tarbiyah of children? Why must the parents pay attention to the tarbiyah of children? Because that child is going to be a source of benefit or is going to be a source of adab for you. Simple as that. The child is going to be a source of benefit for you or is going to be a source of punishment for you in your grave and on the day of judgment. And that is entirely in your hands. A lot of us, especially in the younger days when children are growing up and so on, we are busy with our careers and so on and so forth. We do not give them attention as we should give them attention. And then once they are grown up to a certain age, then we get very concerned. This happened, what, how did it happen? How did it happen? Because you were not there. You were not focused on the children, you were focused on somewhere else. It's not easy. I know it's not easy, because you might say, well, you know, if I am here, if I am not somewhere else, then how does the business? That's your problem. You have to solve that problem. The reality of life is, if you had that child is your responsibility. So, decide. You can't have the child and then you say, but you see, I also had the business, I also had my job, I also had to travel because I worked for this great multinational company and I was sent to this country, that country. So, how could I pay attention to my children? No, sorry, doesn't work. Doesn't work. None of those excuses are acceptable. The child is your responsibility. And to bring up that child is your responsibility. Does not go away because you have this high-flying career or because you have this great business. Does not go away. That is your responsibility, period. Find a way of doing it. Because that child is going to be a source of perpetual goodness for you or perpetual evil for you in this dunya as well as akhirah. Both. So let us focus on the quality of what we do. Not the quantity, but the quality of what we do. That is very, very critical and important for us. And I thought before we go to the next lesson and so on, next question, let us focus on this very important thing, because this is the underlying theme that goes across all the questions. Whether it is youth, whether it is knowledge, whether it is wealth, it's all issue of how, not how much. Quality. Quality of that thing which we did. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to enhance the quality of our deeds and to make them capable of being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.